You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And now, as promised, we're ready to welcome in State Senator Bill Dodd joining us here on Wine Country Live. Good morning, Senator Dodd.
Good morning, Barry.
Thanks for being here. Taylor's here.
Good morning, Taylor,
co-hosting as well. And let's get right into it. I know you don't have an unlimited amount of time. The legislature's back.
For you, Barry, and Taylor, I've got all the time you need.
Oh, shucks. Let's dive right in and talk a little bit about the budget. The governor came forward with his budget proposal last Friday, as I recall. And how did it happen that we end up with still a surplus instead of this big deficit? That was shocking news to me.
Well, essentially, you know, I really think that it was a result of at the beginning of this pandemic, there was, as you recall, a number of different times there were sell-offs in the market. So a lot of people sold their stock, perhaps Silicon Valley stock, doesn't matter where, but capital gains taxes, really is most of what, this surplus is. So there was a lot of, sell-offs in the, in the stock market. And this is why, our budget cycles and what we have right now and how we tax things are pretty uneven, so that when the stock market flourishes, we do real well. When the stock market takes a dive, we don't do so well. But that's really, it in a nutshell, better than expected, returns from, this area of our tax code.
Because, as we've heard, a lot of people who already had a lot of money have a whole lot more money. Because of the pandemic, which is ironic and frustrating to some, but it's just the simple reality of the situation.
It is a simple reality, but the other thing is they're paying their their taxes. I believe that capital gains is 20%. So it's really helped.
Right.
The state government in this particular instance, and frankly, allows us to do a lot of the things that the governor has in his budget.
The people have, focused on this issue, and there's some criticism and concern that the state of California derives such a large percentage of its revenue, tax revenue, from super wealthy people. If those super wealthy people decide to move out of state,
people moving out of state,
as we've seen some examples of individuals and businesses that are going to other places now, that the state of California doesn't have anything to replace that revenue. I'm sure you're in that conversation. What do you think about that issue?
Well, we had a report from the Legislative Analyst Office, which is an independent research arm of the state legislature, that really worked on this issue. And while there's certainly companies that have left, and we've seen examples of that just recently, with some of these tech companies from San Francisco that are leaving, those decisions weren't made this year. This is an ongoing, plan that that these companies have. But in the end, as far as high net worth people leaving, the state, we actually have more high net worth people coming into the state than we do leaving the state. And that doesn't mean that we should be, blinded or jaundiced about this issue about people leaving. We'd like to keep, those people here. We'd like to keep the taxes here. But at the end of the day, what we really should be worried about is our workforce is leaving in higher numbers than are coming into the state. They're going to Texas, Idaho, Nevada, et cetera, Arizona, et cetera, and where the cost of living is substantially lower. Our workforce, really has been squeezed. Our middle class has been squeezed in the state of California. When you look at the taxes, the cost of living, no affordable housing to speak of, these are the issues we need to be working on.
Indeed, I keep every few days it sort of bubbles back up to my mind that when all of this is over, all this COVID and all this unrest and whatnot, we're still going to have a housing crisis. We're still going to have the same fundamental issues that were here before it all started.
Absolutely, and this is what's really, you know, created just in, you know, a local example, you know, people say, hey, we don't want any more houses in Napa. We have too much traffic and everything else. The reason we have so much traffic, there's so many people coming into Napa County to work because they can't live here. And it's a big number. It's really interesting. Our jobs housing balance, when I first got on the Board of Supervisors in 2000, was something like it was practically even. But then over time, as the value of houses went up and Napa became more and more the cool place to, you know, live, so you have high demand and then you have low supply, what happens? Prices go up. And today, our jobs housing balance is way out of whack. We, you know, systematically over the last 10 years have created way more jobs than we have housing. And, you know, it's a factor of the markets and supply and demand. And that's why we've got to get more supply built in the state.
Mm-hmm. So with this sort of windfall that's come to the state, there's money to do a lot of different things. What's at the top of your priority list going into this new year?
Well, it's first and foremost, our priority has to be getting our state, better prepared for COVID and the end of COVID, if you will. This is, the COVID-19 restrictions that have gone on regionally now, closing, indoor and outdoor restaurants. We all know what's closed and what's able to be opened, has really had a horrible, obviously, impact on our economy. So has everything else since the middle of March. And so I think what it's done is it's given us the ability to do more than what we would normally. As I've told you, before, the state of California does not print money. So unlike the federal government, so there's really not a lot we could have done. In this particular case, since we have more resources, I appreciate the governor putting into the things that will help people, like $85.8 billion investment in the schools with the focus on reopening of in-person instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really amazing, since you probably have 1,000 school districts throughout the state of California, it's something only 71 have opened. And I'd like to, do a shout out for the teachers and the administration of our Napa County schools who are open, mm-hmm. albeit, more limited than normally, but they've really stepped up under some really adverse circumstances. We made sure that, districts like we have here in Napa County will get, this money, because they should, because they've been open all along. More money for emergency response to the pandemic, including, $372 million for a new vaccine distribution system. We're seeing how nationwide this rollout is uneven. Again, I want to give a shout out to the Napa County Board of Supervisors, who are working with the local hospitals here in Napa County to roll out more vaccines. They asked for, I think they, their allocation was something like 3,800 vaccines this week. They've asked for 10,000. They really believe that they can get these out. And this is something that I think is job one for us, because it doesn't look like, particularly with the surges and everything, that this stay-at-home order is going to be, something that's going to be a real short-term order, just because of the number of infections that we continue to get. So we really have to get on this this vaccine and get more shots in arms.
Yesterday, for example, my husband got the vaccine just because they had extra, and they called out to local law enforcement and said, send anybody who wants it right now. So a bunch of the officers went and got it.
Well, that's what we need to be doing, not just have standards that can't, that are so rigid that you can't be flexible and you can make independent decisions locally and mm-hmm. let people use their discretion, so we don't waste these vaccines, either from a time standpoint or a temperature standpoint. Mm-hmm. There's other things like, a $4.5 billion economic recovery package, an economic stimulus that the state is providing. It includes $575 million in small business grants and $71 million for fee waivers. Again, we don't print money, but now that we do have this, we just thought it was really incredibly important. And I agree with the governor to, make sure that we have as much available for our small business as possible, because they're really bearing the brunt of all of this.
Right.
That's for sure.
Now, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but can I switch gears for a second and
sure.
ask you about the wildfire proposal that you introduced?
Yes. So, basically what I've learned, even in 2015, when I first got in the legislature as assembly member, I had Lake County. So I've been in my district from 2015 to through today. You know, we've had almost, one or two major wildfires in my district every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And what I keep getting calls from, it's just been absolutely amazing. I get calls from companies that say, hey, we've got a chemical that if you apply this or, some recipe of something that if you apply this to your home, before a wildfire hits, it will not, it'll take care of the structure and will not burn. In fact, the trees and plants and everything around your house will not do it, will not burn either. Or we've got a chemical retardant that is much better than what we've been using in the state of California, dumping out of these jets that we have flying around with the same mix and mixture over the last, 30 years. Here in this day and age of innovation, whether it's in tech or, whatever it's in, but we've had a wild ride in innovation. We've had absolutely nothing in R&D in the state of California or the United States in terms of wildfire resiliency. And that also includes technology for home hardening and defensible space and all those issues. So this will not create a whole new division. My bill, what it would do is it would set up a department within California Office of Emergency Services to be online and have people that will vet all these different technologies, whether it's real large scale or for fighting the wildfires or even lower, more micro for individual homeowners. There was a citizen here in St. Helena that sprayed this chemical all over their house up in St. Helena, up in the hills. Every house around them looked like moonscape. I went up there with the sheriff and Supervisor Pedroza just shortly, probably in the middle of September, and it was absolutely stark. Everything around them was moonscape, but every piece of their property and landscape and everything was totally pristine.
Wow, that's interesting.
So just my own experiences in this area led me to believe that we need to have somebody vetting these technologies and making sure that they get certified or get to the marketplace some way, somehow, so that we know about it. And, I think one of the other bills I had is, when you have these public safety power shutoffs, our local governments have to spend a lot of money every time one of those is called, and they don't have the extra dollars to be able to do this. So I'm merely putting a bill through that would add PSPS to the Emergency Services Act, which will, better help local governments. And then other ones for microgrids, like City of Calistoga, they're kind of doing it right now, but to get grants to communities that want to do clean microgrids in and around their area, so when you have these power shutoffs, it's not so devastating because you have another source of power for your community. Mm. Or emergency services, water plants, hospitals, etc.
So I've got to just toss in my idea for an invention.
Oh, here we go.
regarding wildfire safety, and I'm serious about this. Because of the issue of cost with undergrounding power lines and the fact that in so many places you're talking about rugged, rural, wild land areas, it's not practical to go dig up trenches and so forth. Why can't there be a big, flexible, fire-resistant tube like you would see a conduit underground for phone lines and, Cat 5 cable and all the stuff that's underground under the roadways. And instead of it being buried, it just sits on top of the ground. So it runs through the forest and all the electric lines are inside this big tube and they're, insulated and separated from each other as they need to be a little bit. Wouldn't that be a solution? Would you throw that into the R&D and put my name on it, please?
I will. I will, Barry. There may be royalties on that.
Okay, we'll share it. I'm okay with that.
People
need to think that way, don't we? We need to think like that.
I think so. I think a lot of these things are low tech ideas like that really resonate and come to the forefront. I will talk to the Energy Commission. Yeah.
It's already laying on the ground, so it can't fall. Right, stuff falls on top of it, it still might get ruptured. But if you had it reinforced in a way that could manage, I like the idea.
And the other thing is technology being what it is today, you could probably have a situation if that line was ever breached that you would be able to, the utility would know exactly where it is, mm-hmm. pinpoint it exactly through GPS and easily get it fixed.
Yeah, which is another thing we've learned, that there aren't really those GPS sensors to tell the companies where the problems are specifically all the time. So much work to do. I'm glad that there's some money going toward that. You've got an event coming up. Taylor has info
tonight.
On this event.
You have a virtual town hall. Do you want to plug that?
Yeah, I do. This is, I think, my sixth town hall, and since the pandemic. And tonight, what we're talking about, we've got Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of California, Tony Thurmond, on that'll be talking to us about the schools opening. We'll have Dr. Elaine Batchelor. She's the CEO of Martin Luther King Community Hospital in South Los Angeles. And Dr. Christine Wu, Deputy Public Health Officer for Solano County. And what we're going to talk about is not only opening schools, we're going to talk about the vaccines, and then we're also going to talk about, what's going on in our hospital system. It's pretty well known how they've gotten overwhelmed, and the intensive cares units have gotten overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting when they talk about the demographics of, really what's happening and who are the ones that are getting impacted the most in our communities throughout the state of California. So it should be a very well done. You can, I think, see that on Facebook Live on my Facebook page, KSVY, the public television and radio station in Sonoma, ksvy.org. You can just go there and live stream it. That's probably the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. It'll be starting at 6:00 tonight and going for, 1 hour.
Great.
Very good. State Senator Bill Dodd, our guest, with a few thoughts on many of the pressing issues in Sacramento. We'll be in touch soon now that we're into the new session, and stay on top of activities, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Yeah.
Would love to.
All right.
Taylor and Barry, take care.
Thank you
very much for having me on.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.